Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us on this Monday edition of our show. I hope you were with us all last week as Derek was teaching us about a new beginning. If you weren't, please log on to the website at derekprince.org. Derek taught so powerfully last week about how we not only have a new beginning when we become Christians, but we also are offered a new beginning every time we're willing to repent of our sins and follow Jesus into that death, burial, and resurrection that repentance is. Derek powerfully taught us last week about how God is constantly in the work, in the business of creating a new and a pure heart within us. I believe people were set free last week, and this week, Derek's going to continue that theme of a new beginning by talking about how God saves us, what He saves us from, and what we're ultimately made for. You know, the Bible says we were saved, we are being saved, and we will ultimately be saved. And so salvation is a process, and Derek's going to teach us about what that process looks like. Let's listen now as Derek Prince teaches us about a new beginning.
Our studies this week center around the passage in Titus chapter 3, where Paul describes the full and perfect provision which God has made for each one of us to have the new beginning that we need. Titus chapter 3, let's look at the opening part of verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. That's important, that word appeared. It means it was manifested. It became visible. We could apprehend it with our senses. You see, God's kindness and love are eternal. But they were historically manifested in history in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We absolutely have to grasp this fact. The whole of the Christian faith revolves around one person, Jesus Christ. That distinguishes it from almost every other religion. And it revolves around certain simple basic facts in the life of Jesus. In Jesus, God Himself came to our help. He came on the scene of human history. I want to go through a number of passages in the writings of John, mainly, which emphasize this. We go back, first of all, to John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the eternal, uncreated Son, the second person of the Godhead. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Word became flesh. Jesus took on human flesh. He became a man and He lived for a while among us. That's how the kindness and love of God appeared. You see, the apostles handed on to us their first-hand experience of God in Jesus Christ. And their purpose was that they might bring us into the fellowship which they had come to enjoy with God and with His Son. That's really the reason why the New Testament is written. It's an invitation from the Godhead to share their fellowship through the revelation of Jesus. Then a scripture in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. All of these emphasizing the same great truth. Since the children, that's men and women, have flesh and blood, He, that's Jesus, too, shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus shared in our flesh and blood. He wasn't just an ethereal being. He wasn't just a philosophy. He wasn't just a revelation. He was a man of flesh and blood like you and me. And He took upon Himself flesh and blood that He might die our death. that he might go all the way, and that in dying our death he might break the power of the one who had that power over us, that is the devil. So his ultimate purpose was liberation through identification with us. And then we can look again at the words of Jesus in John 14, verse 9, where he says something very simple but very profound. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So God appeared in Jesus. His kindness and his love were manifested in human history. We are not left trying to form our own image of God. One of the things that interests me as a former professional philosopher is that various different philosophers tried to discover by reasoning what God was like. They all based their reasoning on what they considered to be irrefutable logic. But the interesting thing is they all came up with a different answer, which proves to me that mere reasoning cannot reveal God. But Jesus revealed God, not through reasoning, not through speculation, not through philosophy, but through coming to earth, taking on flesh and blood, and living a life like ours. I want to reemphasize something that I've already tried to make clear, something that distinguishes the Christian faith from any other religion or system that I know of. Christianity is not mere morality or ethics or philosophy. It's based on actual historical events in a time-space world. It's tied in with human experience and human history. I believe that makes it different from other religions which are based on some kind of a revelation, like the Mohammedan religion is based on a revelation which Mohammed claimed was given him in a cave by the angel Gabriel. But it's not tied in with Mohammed's life. He could have been anywhere and had that revelation. It could have been given to any kind of a person. It didn't depend on Muhammad or his life. Or a religion or a philosophy, whatever you want to call it, such as Buddhism, is based on the teachings and the speculation of Buddha. And likewise with various forms of Hinduism. They're not tied in with events of human history. They're not tied in with a life of flesh and blood around which they center. But in the Christian faith, that is not so. Christianity is based on certain specific facts in the life of a man, Jesus of Nazareth. The main facts are his incarnation, that he took upon himself human form, that he was born as a baby and lived on as a man. They're based on his sinless life, his atoning death, and finally his resurrection from the dead. And let me say there's one point, one fact of human history that is more important than all the other facts put together in a certain sense. It is that Jesus rose from the dead. If that's true, then Christianity is irrefutable. If it's not true, then there's nothing to the Christian faith. It is not just a morality or some nice teaching. It's either based firmly in history or it's not valid. I believe it's valid. Furthermore, let me say one further thing about it. The Christian faith, when believed and obeyed, produces in the lives of those who believe it and obey it definite, practical, objective results which could not be produced in any other way. So it's tied in also to human experience in the lives of those who believe it and obey it. It's based on the history of Jesus, and it's tied in to the historical experience of all those millions through the centuries who have believed it and obeyed it. Let me say it very simply. It's not just a theory. It works. It does what it claims.
I don't know about you, but I needed that reminder that God's love and power and kindness are eternal. That the kindness of the Lord did not just appear in my life and had not existed before, but that God's love is eternal. This is what saves us. This is what transforms us. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
What can a dog teach you about the Christian life? The surprising answer is, quite a bit. In his CD teaching, Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life, Derek Prince explains how that Hebrew name, Caleb, literally means a dog. And he reveals some canine characteristics found in the biblical figure, Caleb, that positioned him to be used mightily by God. With it, you'll discover how to experience the flavor, victory, and blessing Caleb enjoyed for yourself. Call now to order your own copy of this insightful CD for only $6.95. 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. There's never been a greater need for teaching like his. Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. Glad you're joining us on this Monday. Derek Prince has been teaching us about a new beginning and has just helped us understand how the kindness and the love of God are eternal, and it's that very eternal kindness and love that saves us, that redeems us, that transforms us. Let's listen as Derek teaches us about a new beginning.
In my talk today, I'm going to share with you the outcome of God's intervention. Paul states it in three brief words of measureless significance. He saved us. Who can measure all that's contained in those words? Let me read the passage again. In Titus 3:5, I like the particular version I'm reading from because it brings that phrase in twice. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. You see, those words, he saved us, indicate a specific act of God, something that took place at a specific time and place. It's not in the realm of theory or theology. It's in the realm of history. It's in the realm of a time-space world. People, men and women of flesh and blood, he saved us. It brings him, God, into direct relationship with us. And in fact, when we come down to the individual level, into direct relationship with each of us individually, he saved me. I wonder if you can say that. Just think about that for a moment while I'm speaking. Can you say, he saved me? By the grace of God and the mercy of God, I want to say that I can say those words. He saved me at a certain point in my life, at a certain place, at a certain time. The intervention of God happened in my life and totally transformed my life. I'm so glad that I can, by the grace of God, without boastfulness, say, he saved me. What does it mean, he saved me? Well, of course, the noun from the verb to save is salvation. And salvation is one of the most rich and wonderful words in all the Bible. Salvation is God's all-inclusive word for all that was obtained for us through the death of Jesus. I want to bring out just four different aspects of salvation. First and most important, salvation is from sin, from the power of sin, from the guilt of sin, and from the defilement of sin. This was the purpose for which Jesus was sent into the world. Before he was born, the angel told Joseph, the husband of Mary, about Mary and the child that was to be born. In Matthew 1:21, the angel said this, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The word Jesus in Hebrew is directly related to the verb to save, or the noun for salvation. So he was to have that name, Jesus, Why? Because he was to save his people from their sins. I want you to notice that Jesus does not save us in our sins. He meets us in our sins, but he saves us from our sins. He does not leave us in our sins. Who are the people of Jesus? Are they Catholics? Are they Protestants? Are they Baptists? Are they Methodists? I want to tell you a very simple answer. The people of Jesus are those whom he has saved from their sins. It's not a matter of denomination. It's a matter of salvation. Let me read that verse to you again. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You may belong to any church, any denomination, but if you've not been saved from your sins, you do not belong to Jesus. The second aspect of salvation is from sickness. And I just want to read a brief incident where Jesus healed a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for many, many years. This is found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him, that's Jesus, and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. The word healed occurs three times in those verses, and each time it's used to translate that basic word, saved. She said, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be saved." Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you." The woman was saved from that moment. Salvation includes deliverance from sickness. It's part of the total package. It also includes deliverance from demonic power. In the story of the Gerasene demoniac who had a legion of demons who could not live a normal civilized life, who was out in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones, after he had been delivered of the demons, the people came to see the change. And this is how Luke describes it in Luke 8:36. "And those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well." That word "made well" in the Greek is saved. Salvation includes deliverance from the power of Satan and of evil spirits. Fourthly, salvation includes protection and preservation through life. This is Paul's personal confession of his faith near the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4:18. "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Where Paul says, "will bring me safely," the Greek says, "will save me." So it includes protection and preservation. Let me recapitulate that briefly. Salvation is from sin, from sickness, from demonic power, and it includes protection and preservation throughout life.
You know, I hope you felt what I felt as Derek taught those words, a great gush of gratitude, because Titus 3:5 tells us that he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God reached into the muck and the mire of our lives and saved us. Oh, how thankful we ought to be. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Salvation. What does this familiar word really mean? The forgiveness of sins? The ticket to heaven? As wonderful as these definitions are, there is much more to salvation than most believers know. Now, in a powerful little booklet entitled Complete Salvation, Derek Prince reveals how the work Jesus did on the cross made a way for all to experience a great, glorious, and complete salvation. In it, you'll discover what salvation truly is and show you the steps you can take to receive and enjoy all of its benefits, both now and for eternity. To order your copy, Complete Salvation, free and postage paid, simply call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, grateful that you're joining us here on this Monday, and grateful also for the teaching of Derek Prince, who's teaching us that we were saved not because of righteous things we had done, but because of God's mercy. Derek is pinning the salvation, the new creaturehood that we enjoy on the eternal love and kindness of God. Let's listen as Derek teaches us about a new beginning.
Now I wanted to return briefly to that verse, Titus 3:5. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Notice there's a not and a but. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. It is so important to understand that we cannot deserve salvation. We have no claim on God through what we have done of righteous acts. There's only one way we can receive salvation, that is, out of God's mercy. And we do not receive out of God's mercy until we have exhausted every claim out of our own righteousness. That's why sometimes religious people find it so hard to enter into salvation. They've grown up and become imbued with the idea that they've got to do something to earn it. And as long as you think you can earn it, you cannot receive it out of God's mercy and grace. God will not grant salvation to you on that basis because it's a false basis. And God can never operate on a false basis. So you have to come to the point where you see it's by God's mercy or not at all. Let me read to you also the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Notice the tremendous emphasis there on grace. The essence of grace is that it proceeds from God, and we cannot earn it. Anything that we can earn is not grace, but we cannot earn salvation. It comes only by grace. And because it is by grace, it is through faith. And even that faith doesn't proceed from us. God himself has to give us the faith to be saved. And then, in order to drive the point home, Paul ends with those words, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are left with no room for boasting, no room for arrogance, no room for parading our own righteousness, our good deeds, our religiosity. All that is ruled out of court, and we are shut up to one thing only, the mercy and the grace of God. Let me read those beautiful words once more. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy.
You know, until we hear Derek's powerful continuation of this tomorrow, I want you to keep something central in your mind. And that is that the salvation that you have enjoyed was not something that you earned, not something that you could accomplish, could do anything to win. It was completely the gift of God. The Bible emphasizes this over and over. And once we understand that salvation is a gift, we'll stop the silliness of believing that it depends on us, it depends on our holiness, it depends on how much we read the Bible or how much we pray or we fast. Yes, we need to do all those things. Salvation is of the Lord. It's a gift of God. And it's a mighty gift that should prompt an eternal debt of gratitude in our hearts. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's insightful audio CD, Caleb, Lessons from a Dog's Life, for only $6.95 when you call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to request your free copy of Derek's powerful little booklet, Complete Salvation. It's yours, free and postage paid, as our way of saying thank you for listening. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.